Well, good morning again. It is good to be able to be here and spend time with you and fellowship with you here. Lord willing, be blessed together by the preaching of the Word of God. You pray for me today as I try to preach. I say I try to preach because, I mean, you can bring notes and you can stand in the pulpit, but you don't always preach. Unless the Lord gives you liberty to preach. So you pray that the Lord would speak to your heart today and give you what you need from the Word. The book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verses 22 through 24 there. Well, we'll back up to verse 17, just give us a little bit of background there. Acts 20, verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." Let's look to the Lord in word prayer one more time. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for your church and the establishment of that institution. Lord, we thank you that we can come together and gather Father, here at Home Baptist Church. We pray that you would give us all the things that we need today. Father, that you would that you would meet with us, Father. Because if you don't meet with us, Lord, we can't muster anything up of ourselves. Lord, we need you to stir our hearts up. We need you to get our attention. Lord, we need you to cause us to be awakened from worldliness and from slumber and from distractions and all the things that are that keep us hindered, Father, from really worshiping you. Father, we need you to just give us all the things we need. Father, I need your help to be able to preach your word. I pray that you just bless your word to us today. And Father, use it as it pleases you to do. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought we have from this, and we're going to focus on verses 22 down through 24 there, where it says, "And now I behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." But the thought I want to bring out from these verses is that of compelling Christianity. Compelling Christianity. You know, a lot of times today, people have this idea about Christianity being convenient. When it's convenient for me, you know, then I'll participate. When it's convenient for me, then I'll come to church. When it's convenient for me, then I'll witness. When it's convenient to me, I'll read my Bible and pray, and so on and so on. And there's this idea, you know, of convenient Christianity that somehow, somehow I'm the judge of Christianity, and it has to meet my expectations, and it has to somehow make me feel good or make me happy, or it somehow has to meet my standards of whatever it is that I'm looking for, you know, in Christianity. But you know, we've kind of got it all backwards. Christianity is not a matter of our convenience. it's about our submitting to the will of God. It's about our submitting to the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the leading of God's Spirit, and submitting to that and serving God according to His Word. It's not about me and what I want to do. It's about what the Bible says and what God says I ought to do, and me submitting to that. You know, we'd be a whole lot happier people as a whole if we would really be submitted to the will of God. If we would surrender our lives really to the will of God. If we'd get it, if we just clean our lives out of all those things that I want to do and what I think I need to do and me and all the things I think will make me happy, the more of that garbage we can clean out, the better off we are. And I mean, time and again, I'll come back to this. I mean, do you not do this as a Christian? Do you not come back to this? You come back to the thing and think, you know, I just got too much garbage in my life. It's hindering me from serving the Lord like I should. And we come back to this again and again. We need to be taught again and again and again, reminded what's important, reminded what matters. But Christianity is not a matter of our convenience. And it's a matter of serving the Lord. But compelling Christianity. Paul speaks of the powerful influence of the Holy Spirit in his life. Unlike the kind of Christianity that many of professing Christians claim today, Paul's Christianity was compelling. It moved him powerfully where God would have him, even though he knew it meant certain trouble for him. I mean, it moved him. It made a difference in his life. It affected him in a very powerful way. And so I'll ask the question, does this sound like the kind of Christianity you have? Do you have the kind that compels you, that moves you, that motivates you, or do you have that convenient kind? Well, I'll serve the Lord when it's convenient. I'll come to church when it's convenient. I'll read the Bible when it's convenient. You know, I'll witness when it's convenient. I'll do this or that or the other when it's convenient. I'll get rid of that amount of my life when it's more convenient. I'll stop serving the world and my job and all these things that distract me so much when it's convenient. When the time is better or right in my life, when it's more convenient, I'll do that. We need to ask ourselves, what kind do we have? Does your Christianity compel you? Does it move you? Does the Spirit drive you into the will of God? Do you go bound in the Spirit as Paul? Is the Holy Spirit the overruling influence of your life? You know, that's where the question we need to ask. Is the leading of God, the Spirit of God, is He the overruling influence of your life? You know, let's be honest. There are so many things that influence our lives. There are so many things that are pulling at our hearts and pulling us this way and pulling us that way. You know, so much busyness and distraction that can get in the way of our serving the Lord. And so what is the kind that you have? What is it that influences your life really and truly? We all know that at times we fail to heed the Spirit of God. But the crucial question we must honestly answer is, does the Spirit of God at times compel me? I mean, do I know the leading of the Spirit of God in my life? Do I know I'm saved because I believe in Jesus? And do I have the assurance of the Holy Spirit in my life? Does He lead me? Can I sense it? Do I see how He has compelled me at times and led me at times and moved me at different times in my life in a very powerful way toward the will of God? We should have a compelling Christianity, not this light, convenient sort that so many, subscribe to today. But let's look in Romans chapter 8 for a minute. Romans 8 and verse 11. Can you honestly say that the Spirit of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God, is the overwhelming and overruling influence of your life? Is that the number one motivator of all of your life? You know, is that the center of your life, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God that compels me to follow Jesus? Is that it? It needs to be the number one motivator in your life. Oh, there are so many things that are motivating us and distracting us and leading us astray and tempting us with some sort of worldly happiness. Well, this will make you happy. You know, if you just had this, you'd be more happy. And it never fails. When you get what it is that thought would make you happy, it didn't do it, and then you want a little bit better one of that thing because you know that if I just get the little bit better one of that thing, it'll be better. I don't care what it is. It can be it's toys when you're a little kid, and it's bigger toys when you're a big kid, you know, or whatever it is. That it's always something, you know. You know what? Sometimes it's good to just lay it out there and be for the preacher to tell, you know, to be honest. You know, I've got the same kind of problems in my life. That's why I can say it, because I know all about it. You know, I've always wanted a little piece of property. I figured, I just need a little piece of property. It made me happy. You know, and Lord gave me a really nice place here recently, and it's got a little piece of property. And I got deer coming in the backyard. I like to hunt. I can hunt the deer, and there's turkeys coming in the yard. I can hunt the turkeys. But I don't really care. It doesn't make me happy anymore. It doesn't do it for me. You know, I can go out there and enjoy them a little. I can get a little bit of enjoyment out of it, you know. But I'm getting to the place where I'd almost just rather just sit in the house and watch them. I don't even care anymore. You know, everything is like that. There was a time in my life when that was just the most important thing in the world. That's just the most important thing. I've got to go shoot every deer in the woods. That's nothing else really matters. It makes me so happy. That's what I got to do. And now it's just like, it's just a deer. It doesn't do it. Everything in life will be like that. You've all got something like that in your life. You think, I got to do this, and I got to be here, and I got to go there, and it's going to make me happy. And then after a while, it's like, it doesn't really make me happy. Everything in life is like that. So we've got to be careful. You've got to realize that the things that you think are going to make you happy and you're running after, you know, and you're thinking the Holy Spirit's saying, that's not going to do it. The Holy Spirit's proud in you saying, you know what, you need to go this way. You know, if you would just serve the Lord a little more here or there, you'd be happy. And you're like, no, but I really want to go that way because I know that's going to make me happy. And you get there and think, why am I not happy? Well, because the Holy Spirit said go that way. And he said go do this. And you thought, well, I know this will make me happy, but it didn't make you happy. And so we all struggle with that. This old flesh has a problem with that. And so we need to be real sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's saying. You know, Paul was saying, I go bound in the Spirit. And we need to really listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying in our lives. If he's saying go this way, then we need to go that way. If he's saying talk to this person, we need to talk to this person. If he's saying you need to spend this whole day doing this thing that is so against your personality and your flesh to serve the Lord and to be a witness to somebody, go do that thing. Because at the end of that, you're going to be satisfied and happy that you serve the Lord. You know, but if you go do your thing, you think, well, you know what? I could go do this and serve the Lord, and I could give up my day to serve the Lord, or I could go over here and I could do the thing that I really want to do, the thing that makes me happy. And I guarantee you at the end of the day, you're just going to be like, oh, I'm depressed. I'm not happy. That didn't do it for me. But go serve the Lord. Do the things that he calls you to do, and you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be happy. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to know that you're in the will of the Lord, and it's so much more satisfying than chasing after the things of this life. But does the Spirit of God lead you? We all need to ask ourselves that question. Romans 8 and verses 11 through 16. It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And do you have that testimony in your heart? Do you have that testimony in your life? Do you know that you've believed in Jesus, and with that belief in Christ has come the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God? And he leads you, and he guides you, and he directs you, and he motivates you, and he influences you. And when you go the wrong way, he makes you feel just miserable until you get back to the right way. You know. And when you go the right way, he causes you to rejoice in the things of God and have a satisfaction and peace in your soul. Do you sense that? Do you have that? Do you have a compelling Christianity? And that's what you'll have if you have that. So we're going to get to the points then of the message. First of all, number one, consider Paul's bondage. Consider Paul's bondage. And I said that right. Paul's bondage. He says, I go bound in the Spirit. You know, a lot of times we think, we think, oh, we're not under the law, we're under grace. And that's very true. You know, we are not under the Jewish obligations to the law to keep the law or die. And we're not under the law in any way like that. And we are under the grace of God, and we are not obligated to the law in the same way that the Jew was under the law. And through salvation, we are certainly under grace. But that doesn't mean we can just do any old thing we want and live any old way we want and not do what God wants us to do and think that we're going to get away with it. That's just not how it works. He will chase and he'll direct, he'll lead. But Paul was bound in the Spirit. Verse 22 there of Acts 20 says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He knew trouble was coming. He knew he was nearing the end of his ministry. He knew that that he wasn't going to see these ones here at Ephesus anymore. He knew that I'm coming to some hard end. For me, it's going to be difficult in the flesh, but I'm going to continue on. That doesn't move me. But he went bound in the Spirit. Most times we think of spiritual bondage in a negative way, yet truly, to be bound in the Spirit is to the will of God for your life is a very good thing. I mean, what better thing could it be than the Spirit of God bind you to the will of God and compel you and motivate you and keep you on track for the will of God? There's nothing better for us than that God lead us and direct us and keep us in His will. There's nothing better for us than that if God doesn't allow you to get off here or over here where you would go. You know, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have a tendency to go astray. Oh, look at that. That pasture looks really good over there. But we haven't considered all of the pitfalls and all the problems and all the dangers. We can't see that far, but He can. He says, no, don't go that way. I'm so glad that God leads. And He doesn't let us get way out here, way out there without bringing us back to where we need to be. You know, sometimes He'll let us go for a time. Oh, that's a miserable place, you know, like the prodigal son. What a miserable condition to go off. He went off and did what he wanted to do, didn't he? He went off and sought the things that he thought, yeah, I know that's going to make me happy. And he got there and he found at the end of all that he was miserable. And then he went back to where he was happy and satisfied. And sometimes God lets you go there for a while. But I'm glad when He doesn't let me go there. I don't want to go there. Just bring me back before I have to go there. Bring me back and keep me where I need to be. Don't let me get off there. But Paul was bound by the Spirit. That's a good thing. When you're so compelled by the Spirit of God that you feel, I must go here, I must do that. I can't go to the right, and I can't go to the left. I must go to what God would have me do. Oh, that's a blessing. That's a blessing to be bound in the Spirit in that way, a very good thing. But Paul says, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. And we need to ask ourselves, do we have any experience with that sort of Christianity? Behold, I go bound in the Spirit. I feel so compelled by the Spirit of God, I must go this way. I must forsake these things in my life. I must get rid of these sinful things, these harmful things, these distracting things. I must get rid of them because I know they're harming me, and the Spirit of compelling you in such a way. You know, a still small voice every day. Every day He says, you know what? You need to get rid of that, and you ignore it for a while. And He comes back again later, you know what, you need to get rid of that. And then you hear a message on Sunday that lines up with all the other things in your life that says, you know what, you need to get rid of that. And you keep hearing it, and you finally say, I got to get rid of it. And the burden gets heavier and heavier. And then finally you get rid of it, and you're like, oh, I'm so glad that's gone. I'm so glad that's taken care of. But we need to have that sort of going bound. Behold, I go bound in the Spirit. Do you have that sort of a compelling Christianity? The idea, again, is that the influence of the Spirit upon the life of Christians is to do the will of God is a very compelling thing. You know, just to define compel a little bit for us, the 1828 Webster Dictionary definition of compel is to drive or urge with force or irresistibly, to constrain, to oblige, to necessitate either by physical or moral force. I mean, it's a very powerful word, to compel. And the Spirit ought to compel you. Look in the book of Mark for a minute, chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. But notice, you know, the other Gospels tell us that he was led up of the Spirit. You know, but this is giving us an understanding of how powerful that being led was. You know, the Spirit says here, immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. You know, that's what it is to be, you know, as close as the Son was to the Father in that closeness of relationship, and the Spirit there, was very powerfully motivating then. And so the closer we are to our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, so will the powerful influence of the Spirit be in our life. The closer you are to God, the more powerfully you're gonna sense His presence and moving. You know, we can become seared. Our conscience can get seared like a hot iron where we don't even hardly sense Him anymore. You know, we ignored him so long that we've become dull to his leading in our lives. And we need to be so close to the Father that it's like we're being driven. It's like we're being driven. I must do this. I must go here. And so submitted and surrendered to the will of God that we actually go. You know, there are so many times in our lives and when the Spirit, you know, is moving and he's saying, you know, you ought to go here, you ought to go there. The times that he tells you, you ought to go witness to this perfect stranger. And you say, oh, but I'm not sure I'm hearing you just quite right, you know. We need to go do what he tells us to do. We need to overcome our fears. We need to overcome ourselves. We need to say, you know what? He wants me to go do it. There's a reason for it. And he's leading me there. I need to go do it. But we need to go bound. We need to go, you know, being close to the Lord, listening to him, being sensitive to his presence in our lives so that we can hear and we can act upon his very powerful leading in our lives. But consider the opposite of that, the opposition to that idea. Consider what binds most. Paul says, I go bound in the Spirit. And what binds most people? Isn't it our everyday lives? Isn't it our everyday business? Isn't it our everyday obligations and all the things that we've busied our lives with? Isn't that a lot of times what I say, I have to be here because of this. I have to go here or do this or do that because of this. I have to and I can't do this for the Lord because I have to be here. You know, when you've got things in your lives, and a lot of times it's a job. It could be a job, you know. There's people in my life that, you know, they have a love for the Lord and they're great, you know, witnesses. I mean, just love witnessing and love talking to people, but they just can't be in church on Wednesday. And they can't ever be anywhere that's anything extra than Sunday because they're so busy and their lives are so busy. They're so full of stuff that's it. I can't do anything more. And they say, I can't do this because I have this, you know, and it frustrates me because I'd like to see him free of the things that bind him, you know, to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. He'll take care of you. You don't need this or that or the other thing, you know. It's God that takes care of you. It isn't your job. I mean, we all need a job, you know. The Lord says we ought to work. But at the same time, if it hinders you from serving the Lord, you know, he can take care of you some other way. You know, but you'll find that a lot of times it's that, you know. People get in all sorts of bondages, you know, a lot of times, and I don't want to step on too many toes, but a lot of times, husband and a wife, and they're raising their children, and they're sending them off to daycare because they're both working, you know, because they got all the things going on in their life, and they won't submit to, you know, God's way for the wife to stay home and to raise the children, and, you know, get cut out the daycare and cut off sending their kids away, and you know, but they say, well, we got to have the insurance or I got to work because of this. No, you don't. You know, the Lord will take care of you. The Lord will take care of you. If you submit to his will and you do things God's way, he's going to bless you in ways you couldn't imagine. But the word comes out, I can't. I can't because of this. You see, they go bound in the flesh. They go bound by something in this life. Something in this life is binding them. And they feel like, I must do this. You see, it's the opposite of what Paul said. Paul says, I go bound in the Spirit. It was the Spirit of God that bound him and motivated him above everything else. And we need to be like that. The Spirit of God needs to be the overruling influence in our lives. And we say, you know what? I realize this and this, and I can add this up on my calculator. But the Lord says, go this way, and I'm bound to go in the Spirit. I'm going to go where the Lord sends me to go. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And that, you know, that's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the practical everyday life. I'm talking about the practical everyday decisions where you decide, I've got to do this because the world says I do. Or I've got to do this because the Lord says I need to do this. You know, that decision, we make it every day in our lives. And we're either living like that. I go bound in the flesh. Or we're living like this. I go bound in the Spirit. And every day we apply that to our lives. And so what kind of Christianity do you have? Rather than the Spirit of God being the most compelling influence upon their lives, they would have to confess that the things of this world and this life most compel them. Family, earthly obligations and relationships, and their own will and desire and ambition have the true influence over their lives. They seem to have no ability to put Jesus before everything else. You know anybody like that? They just can't put the Lord first. They just can't put, spending time, in fellowship with God's people first. They just can't seem to make the time for it. And there's always something else. They can't make time to go, to a church work day. They can't make time to go and help the pastor. They can't make time. Anything extra, there's just no time, you know. But then you have those kind of people that I don't care what they're doing. I mean, a tornado came through in a house and a tree fell on their house, and you call them and you say, hey, can you come over and help me do something? And they'll leave everything they've got to come over and help out a brother or sister in Christ. And you know those kind of people. I mean, those kind of people are compelled, and they've got priorities. They've got priority. They got their priorities right. You know, the things in my life are second to the things of the Lord. And however I can serve the Lord, that comes first, and I know He's going to take care of the rest. You see, that's compelling Christianity. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of things that we need to have, in our lives. But that's what's going to make us, that's going to satisfy us, and that's going to make us happy. You know, you can have a million things going on in your life that you need to do. But when the Lord says, you know what, you need to go here and do this or do that, you need to say, you know what, I'm going to drop it all, and I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. Because that is what's going to satisfy you. That's what's going to, going to rejoice your heart. You know, how many of us are running around depressed and discouraged and just dry and I don't know if I can keep going. You know, it's probably because you get way too much of the, you're chasing after the things of the world and you haven't been serving the Lord. You need to drop your life and forget about all that that's stressing you out and burdening you and weighing on you. And say, you know what? I'm just going to serve the Lord. And get over here serving the Lord, and doing whatever it is He calls you to do. Even if it doesn't seem like a very pleasant or fun thing, you know. Very seldom is serving the Lord like a very pleasant or fun thing, I mean, in its of itself. Usually there's lots of things surrounding it. The fellowship of God's people is wonderful. You know, but sometimes He'll call you to do something that's way out of your comfort zone. And to go minister to somebody in some way that is so hard for you to do personally. And you're going to have such a struggle on the inside to go do that thing. But if you go do it, I guarantee you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be satisfied. At the end of that day, you're going to say, wow, that was nice. Why don't I do that more often? You know, instead of chasing after the things that, you know, that you think are going to make you happy. They always leave you dissatisfied. If you don't believe me, go read Ecclesiastes. You know, go read the book of Ecclesiastes and be reminded of it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, and the farther along you get in your life, you realize He's telling the truth. The things that used to make me happy don't make me happy. And the things that I used to think fulfilled me, they really drained me and they sucked the life out of me. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. The farther along you get in life, especially as a child of God, the more you realize it and you say, none of this stuff makes me happy. I need to just serve the Lord because that's what makes me happy. And so if we could, we remember that, we would be in much better shape. But we need to put Jesus and make Him the number one priority of our life. Serving Him in His church by the leadership of the Spirit, according to the Word of God. You know, those are the things that we need to put first. And those are the things that are going to make us happy. Jesus says, and it's in many places that we need to lose our life to serve Him, and I honestly I just don't think we were really listening to that. But that's a hard one. But that is what will make a child of God happy, is to surrender their life and to serve the Lord. But Luke 18 verse 22 says. The different accounts in the Gospels, the rich younger ruler comes to Jesus, and he says, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And he tells him to keep the commandments, and he lists all the things he kept. And Jesus said, you're still lacking one thing. Verse 22, he says, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Oh, it doesn't matter what it is. But whatever it is that Jesus calls you to give up, and if you won't give it up, you're going to have to be very sorrowful. But there's a lot of things in life that, You know, he calls you to do, and he calls you to surrender. And if you'll do that, he understands it's not good for you. And you know what? Honestly, we understand it's not good for us. We know what takes us away from the Lord. We know what distracts us from the Lord. But we get kind of used to it, and we kind of make excuses, and we just kind of keep going along, don't we? We just keep going along. And Jesus, you know, but it's wonderful, you know, if Jesus will just stop us, get our attention, and say, you know what? If you get rid of that thing, you can have more of me. You can have more of me if you've got less of that. And if we just hear him when he says that, and if we'll just listen, that's when we're reminded what real joy is, what real happiness is, what real satisfaction and real peace is. And we're reminded, Jesus makes me happy. Spending time with him makes me happy. That's what satisfies my soul. That's what gives me joy in my life. No wonder I've been so miserable. I've been trying to serve me. I've been trying to do my own thing. No wonder I'm so unhappy. It's Jesus. He's what I need. He's what I've been missing. And we need a Christianity that compels us and reminds us and gets us back to that most important reality of our lives, that first love, that first relationship that Jesus speaks about there in Revelation. Get back to that. Get back to that. I just love Jesus and I want to spend time with him. And I'm going to go where he wants me to go. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. And he satisfies my soul. And get back to that. That's what we all need to do, because that's where we're going to find satisfaction. That's where we're going to be blessed and happy. But Luke chapter 10, let's go there a minute. Speaking of that thought. Luke 10 and verse 38 and 42. We all make a decision. Every day we do this. Every day we make a decision. We either make a decision to go about our life and go about all the necessities of life and choose the burdens of that. Or we make the decision that in whatever I have to do today, I'm going to enjoy Jesus. I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to sit at his feet and be blessed. But Luke 10, verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.'" And I want you to really get this part here. "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." You see, but Mary had chosen the good part of that day and of every day of life. It's Jesus. He's the good part of every single day. And if we don't spend time with him, we're missing the best part. We're missing the good part. But we also, like Martha, had chosen, you know. She had chosen her cares and her troubles. A lot of times we do that. We think, I got to do this and I got to do that. And so I can't have, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that for the Lord. We're making a choice, just like Martha did. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And I've got all this busyness. And Lord, don't you care that Mary has left me to serve alone? He says, she's chosen the good part and I'm not taking it away from her. Every day we all can choose the good part. We've got necessities. We've got things we've got to do. But we all need to do whatever it is that God's called us to do with Jesus, with putting him first in our life and foremost in our life and realizing he's the thing I need. He's the one thing I need. And all these things that I've got to do and all these burdens and cares and busyness of my life, he's the one thing that I must do and I must not forget. But what is often the first thing that we get rid of? What's the first thing that happens when we get busy? Well, I don't got time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. I've got to do this and that and the other thing. Isn't that what happens when we get busy? That's the opposite of what we need to do. The most important thing is I must spend time with Jesus. Everything else will fall into place. The Lord will order it. But one thing is needful, and we've got to get back to that. But we need a Christianity that compels us, like the kind that Paul had, the kind that motivated him and moved him and said, "I go bound in the Spirit." Very powerfully motivated by the Spirit. Matthew 11 and verse 28. You know, oftentimes we think about this as, you know, when we're thinking about a sinner, you know, and they're under the weight of sin, and certainly, obviously, it applies, and that's the primary application. But but it's for us too that have forgotten what the rest of Jesus is like. We need to be reminded. Matthew 11 in verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I mean, are you burdened under your life and all the busyness and all the things that you've got yourself all underneath of? "Come unto me, and all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." What is his yoke? Well, that's his service. That's serving him. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls." We need to be reminded about the rest that there is in serving Jesus. There's satisfaction and rest and peace like you can't have from all of the busyness and the distraction and the burdens of this life. Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, there's rest that we can have. We need to be reminded of the rest that we can have, in coming back to serving Jesus and being under that yoke and putting him first in our lives. But there is a rest when we finally surrender our life and our way to serve Jesus instead. And so the next thing we want to consider there in Acts is verses 22 down through 24 there, chapter 20. We see that because Paul had a compelling Christianity, a real Christianity, a powerful Christianity, a Christianity that moved him. He also had, his life was on track. It kept him going where he needed to go. When things were hard and difficult, and he had all these things that were tempting him to go another way, because he was, had that compelling Christianity, it kept him on track. And so Paul was unmovable. Paul was unmovable. We need to be the kind of Christians that are unmovable, that we're not moved here and there and all over the place. And if we're serious about serving the Lord, And we have a compelling Christianity, we're going to be staying where we need to stay and continuing on in the things we need to continue in. But verse 22 there of Acts 20 says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." So, this isn't going to be fun, Paul. Everywhere you go, bonds and afflictions are waiting for you. There's a lot of unpleasant things that waiting for you. Verse 24, "But none of these things move me." How easily are we moved, from serving the Lord? Get a little trouble here, a little trouble there, a little resistance here, a little tiny bit of taste of persecution for being a Christian or witnessing or doing this or that. And we're just like, "Oh, we can't do that." We're moved too easily from the things that God would have us to do. But Paul says, "I know that I'm probably going to get put in prison, and I know I'm probably going to die, but that's not going to change my course. I'm going to continue on in the will of God. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." But Paul couldn't be moved. Because that he had a compelling Christianity, because the Spirit of God was directing in his life in a powerful way, Paul was unmovable. Because Paul was bound in the Spirit, he could not be moved from the purposes of God. For example, if I was in a prison, no matter what happens to me, I can't be moved from my cell except the keeper of my bondage lets me loose. And that's the kind of Christianity Paul was. He was so powerfully moved by the Spirit. He's like, I can't be moved from the will of God. And the things that, that tempted and the things that, that tempted to harm him, they couldn't move him from the will of God. This unmovable state kept him on track. When others would have gone off course, he stayed on the course that God had for him. He's going to finish his course with joy because he was being led of the Spirit of God and he was bound by that Spirit. And what a blessed place that is when we stay on course, but staying near to God and having this compelling kind of a Christianity, it's going to keep us on track. It's going to keep us where we need to go, even when we don't understand how things are all going to work out. It's going to keep us on track where we need to be. It kept him walking by faith, not needing to know all the details, not knowing the things that shall befall me. He says in verse 22. But when we're led by the Spirit of God and we're going according to His Word and by faith we're trusting in Him, we don't need to know all the details because we know that God's leading You know, we're trusting in his leadership. We know, I know God says I need to go this way. I don't understand all the details of that. And I don't know how he's going to work all that out, but I trust in him. And I know that he always provides for me. He never lets me down. And so long as I go where he tells me to go, it always works out and it's always a blessing. That's the kind of Christianity Paul had. He kept him walking by faith, not needing to know all the details. Very rarely are you going to know all the details of life. That would be walking by sight. You know, God calls us to walk by faith. And there's going to be times where he says, you need to go here and do this and do that. But he's not going to tell you all the details of that. And so you're either going to say, okay, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to find out when I get there. Or I'm going to say, no, I don't see how that's not going to work, and so I'm just really not going to do that. You know, we make those kind of choices in our life. But when we go, when God says go, when we do what God says do, there's always a blessing in that. He's always going to bless. This being bound in the Spirit, it kept him determined, even in the face of oppositions and troubles. There in verse 23, say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. You know, we need to have that kind of a Christianity that keeps us determined, that we're not easily deterred, not easily turned back. There's too many sunny day Christians, so to speak. You know, they're going along as it's good. I'm going to follow the Lord. Oh, I love Jesus, and I'm going to follow the Lord, man. But then something happens in their life, and they're out of here. Wow, that weighs way too hard. I'm going back over here. It was a lot easier over here. You know, but there are those that keep going and continuing on. That's the kind of Christianity that we need. That compelling kind, that kind that keeps us moving in the things of God, even when things are difficult. It kept him from loving his own life too much. In verse 24 there it says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. You know, we need to be careful that we realize that as a child of God, we've been bought with a price. That our life is not our own, and we need to be serving the Lord with our life. But Luke 14 and verse 26, and again, that's one of those things in our lives that causes us all kinds of problems. We get to loving me too much, and what I want to do too much, and my will too much, and when we get that way, you know, that's when we find I'm not satisfied, I'm not happy, because I've been trying to make myself happy. And that never does work out. And so we need to surrender that life. But Luke 14, verse 26, it says, or in verse 25, it says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Because, you know, all of these things are going to tug at your heart. You know, your family's going to tug at your heart, and all these other things are going to tug at your heart, and your own will and your own desires and your own ambitions and the things that you want to do and the things that you think are going to make you happy, they're all going to tug on your heart. And there's going to be times when you're going to have to make tough choices and say, you know what, I'm just going to serve the Lord no matter what. And that's what Jesus says to those that would be followers. You know, do you really want to follow the Lord? Well, there's going to be some tough decisions in your life. You're going to have to, you know, go against family sometimes to serve the Lord. And you're going to have to go against, you know, the good job you might have to serve the Lord. And you might have to forsake your dreams and all the things you thought that you were going to do with your life. More than likely, you're going to have to do that. You know, we all have these ideas, you know, of what we're going to do with our life, you know. But the Lord has a different plan most of the time, you know. And when he says, you know what, that's going to have to go. You're going to have to say, okay, that's got to go. I'm going to serve the Lord. But we need to have that sort of a Christianity. It's real. It's compelling. And I'm not talking about extraordinary Christianity here either. Let me be clear about that. I'm not talking about, you know, something that's just extraordinary and just way out there. I'm talking about what it ought to be like, you know. This is what it ought to be like. If the Holy Spirit, you know, if you're a child of God, and the Holy Spirit is indwelling you by faith in Jesus, then you should have this in your life, at least to some degree. There should be times where you can identify, he moves me in this way. I know I'm a child of God because the Spirit of God indwells me, and he lets me know I'm a child of God, and he keeps me on track. There should be that. It kept him on course for joy. You know, you want joy in your life, you want happiness, then serve the Lord. Go the way He wants you to go. When you think, I want to go this way, but the Lord wants me to go this way, go the way He wants you to go, you'll be happy. Go the way you think it's going to make you happy. Every time you're going to end up dissatisfied and wondering what happened. I got everything I wanted, but it didn't make me happy. Every single time. Go the way the Lord wants you to go. Even when it doesn't make sense, that's where the course of joy is. Paul says that I may finish, so that I might finish my course with joy. Oh, we all, you know, the farther along you get in the Christian life, it takes you a while to learn that, doesn't it? You know, when you're young, you're like, I need this and I need that and I need this. And pretty soon you're like, none of that makes me happy. And you're getting farther and farther away from the stuff that makes me happy. And then you start realizing, you know what? I've got to finish my course with joy. I know where joy is. Joy is in serving the Lord. And if I can just stick to that, I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have happiness. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to be blessed in my life. And so we need to keep on course for joy. Joy's at the end. Jesus is where all of our satisfaction, fulfillment, joy, completion, it's in Him. You know, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the goal. He's the mark. He's the prize of our high calling. You know, we need to go to Him and live our lives in such a way that's directed toward Him and realize that's what life's all about. Life's all about serving the Lord. Life's all about finishing our course with joy and then being with Jesus forever. We need to understand that. And we need to press toward that. So we all have a individual course of life. And we all have a ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So long as we do what the things that God calls us to do, we're compelled by that Spirit like Paul was, we're moved to go where we ought to go. We're going to have joy in our lives. We're going to be satisfied with serving Him. But let's kind of wrap these things up. And just ask the question again, does this sound like the Christianity that you have? Is it the kind that compels you, or are you more bound to the world? Are you more bound to your life? Are you more bound to your problems and to your busyness and all of those things? Or do you have the kind of Christianity that overcomes all of that and says, you know what, I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what, and He promises to take care of me. He promises to take care of all of these things in my life. If I understand that He's the most important thing, the most needful thing, if I serve Him first, if I put Him first, I know I'll be satisfied, I'll have joy, I'll have fulfillment, and He'll take care of all those other things, you know. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if we live with that attitude, and we really believe that, He will provide everything that we need. And we'll have joy and satisfaction in life. But what sort of Christianity do you have? The compelling kind like Paul, or the convenient kind like many do? So may God help us all to have the kind of Christianity that Paul had, the kind that compels us and keeps us unmovable in the will of God. But we'll stop there and turn the service over to Brother Larry.